welcome to Bethel Baptist Church of Morgan Hill, and we thank thee again for you choosing to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with us today. We ask, if you're a first-time attender, that you would please tear off the portion in the program that was given to you and fill it out, and Pastor would like to send you a thank you note. I have one announcement for this morning, and that is that our brother Paul Ortiz has offered his home every Friday at 12 noon for those men that can gather with him and pray at that house. There will be no food served. It's just strictly a prayer meeting for men that are able to come to his home at 12 noon every Friday. Let us open up with Psalm 62, verses 7 and 8. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Let us open up in prayer. Almighty Father, blessed is thy holy name. For we praise and worship thee, Almighty God, because thou hast shed thy mercy and grace upon our souls through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, as we seek to serve thee today to proclaim thy gospel from this place and by thy servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, we ask, O Father, that you will help us to bring forth thy word in spirit and truth, and that you may choose us, O Lord God, as vessels of good to call more of thy children into thy kingdom. As well as we pray, Almighty God, for the missionaries that we support here at Bethel Baptist and all the missionaries in the United States and all over the world. That you'll be with them, Almighty God, as they seek to proclaim thy word, to call more of thy children into thy kingdom. May you watch over and protect them and keep them from evil, them and their families. We pray, Almighty God, for this nation of the United States of America that you have blessed so abundantly, O Father. May you continue thy mercy and grace on this country. And may you bring it into awakening, O Lord God, by the leaders that you have placed in this government to run it. May you awaken them, Almighty God, unto thy will and thy way into their hearts, so that they may govern the people of this nation. We pray, O Lord God, these things in our Lord and Savior's name, Jesus Christ. We ask now that you will take the hymnal and turn to hymn 36, and please stand.
Oh, And now, Father, we pray that as we participate in this offering, that each one of us may do so out of love for Jesus and the ministry. So bless the offering and bless the giver in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. This is Pastor Otero speaking again as the offertory take place right here the church. I want to again remind you of our willingness to help you spiritually in case if you need counsel, in case you need to share with someone a burden. The only thing you have to do is call our church office, 778-2595. And if the pastor is not there, or the secretary, there will be a voicemail that you can leave your message, and pastor will be back with you. I want to let you know that Monday is the day off for these pastors, so the whole day the machine will be on. If it's an emergency, I give you a number, 390-0998. That will be my personal voicemail, and you can contact me, and we can really share what is the burden you have. I want to announce now, so that you get ahead in the news, that on December 20, we will have our choir cantata in the morning and our children cantata in the evening. Two choirs, one in the morning and one in the evening. You are welcome. Visit with us at 11 o'clock and at 6 p.m. It's going to be a glorious day singing and praising God for the gift of Jesus our Lord. May God bless you. As you continue to listen, let us join the service in progress.
Thank you, choir. Yes, we all need the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask you now to take your Bibles and to turn to Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you will find today's reading in that Bible on page 60. We ask that you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Almighty Father, blessed is thy holy name. We pray unto thee, Almighty God, through thy mercy and grace that thou hast bestowed upon our souls by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we reflect on thy word today, O Lord God, that thy servant will bring forth our pastor, Gabriel Otero, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Father, as children of God, help us not to bear false witness against thee. Help us, Almighty God, to serve thee in spirit and truth, and to give ourselves unto thee as thou hast sacrificed thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for us. Help us to be a witness of the truth in this dark place. For you have given us a commission, O Lord God, and that is to proclaim thy gospel by word and in our lives to be the light in a dark place. We ask that you will use your servant this morning, our pastor, as he proclaims the light of Christ, and that you will call more of thy children into thy kingdom by it. This we ask in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, my Savior, with thee I am blessed. My life and salvation, my joy and my rest. Thy name be my theme and thy love be my song. Thy grace shall inspire both my heart and my tongue. but how much I love thee, my actions will show.
Thank you, ladies. That was absolutely beautiful. I want you to please, if you will, to turn your Bible to our book of Exodus. Little by little, we're making our way through the Ten Commandments, and God's willing, the coming Sunday will be the last sermon on the Ten Commandments. I was sharing with the teachers, this is my third time in church, and I think it's about the fifth time in the radio that I taught the Ten Commandments, and this time I have learned tremendous lessons myself. And how deep is the scripture that you can go over and over and over and learn each time more. And it is a joy to see the law of God so fresh and so alive. Somebody have made a comment on radio that they cannot believe they have written the gospel from the book of the law. Well, I tell you, the book of the law is the gospel. There is no other thing. First, we need to know that we are sinners. And then we need to know that there is a Savior who save us. Let's pray together. Father, we come into thy presence again in Jesus' name. Bless now the hour in which we take the time to look upon the scripture and to draw from the scripture great spiritual lessons for our life. The Holy Spirit, who is the author, the interpreter, and the teacher of the Spirit, will show us Christ. Help me, O God, to point Christ even now in Jesus' name. Amen. Your Bible should be open in Exodus chapter 20, and the verse what I study is verse 16. This is the ninth commandment, and reads in this way, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, God explained this a little farther, and if you move your Bible to 23 verse 1, you have an enlargement of the commandment done by God. In 23 verse 1 we read, thou shalt not raise a false report, put not thy hand with a wicked to be an unrighteous witness. So if you combine Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16 and Exodus 23 and verse 1, you have a complete understanding of the commandment. Now, lying, bear false testimony against people, is common to all of us. We have all lied. Sometimes in the past, we have told what in America is called a little white lie. Twisted the truth. Told a half-truth. Maybe gossip. Not really knowing the truth. Maybe discredit someone. Maybe slander someone. Maybe sought to escape blame by skirting around the truth. Maybe try to blame elsewhere by failing to come forward with the truth. Maybe we cast a suggestive hint or insinuated of an untruth things about someone. Maybe we boasted or exaggerated the truth in order to boast ourselves and show pride in ourselves. And all these things are forms of truth. Now, Scripture emphatically declares all men are liars. Look in Psalm 116 and verse 11. Psalm 116 and verse 11. And look what the Scripture says. All men are liars. Lying is so common that is condoned, accepted, even expected by many people. But lying is not ever justified in the Bible. Silence sometimes is in the Bible, but not lying, not answering dishonestly. Now, leaders, both business and political, can say or promise anything, and people either accept or overlook their twisting of the truth.
A person's character, his word, and integrity seems to matter very little today. You know that? People care less about the integrity of a leader today. Making false claims and promises has become a way of life in America and around the world. There is a feeling that a person just cannot survive nor get ahead unless he twisted the truth and boots himself up. Telling the truth and being honest have fallen by the wayside today. Nothing can survive when it is filled with lies. I won't tell you that. Nothing can survive when it's filled with lies. Not for a long time. Not the families, no friendship, no business, clubs, school, churches, communities, government, any organization or group will collapse in the wake of mistrust and broken promises. And I'm afraid for our country. This is the great concern of the ninth commandment. God says, thou shalt not bear false witness. Or 23:1, thou shalt not bear a false report against thy neighbor. So we're going to do the classic things we do in the commandments. And in this type of a study, I purposely have three things in mind. First, if this commandment for me. Number two, how do I break the commandment? And number three, how can I fulfill this commandment in my life? Is that simple? Let's study and see it. Number one, who is to obey this commandment? Was this commandment given to govern only the ancient Israelites, only those who lived before Christ came? Was lying a problem only of the Israelites and not of the whole world? Or is lying still a serious problem today? Well, the easy way to find out if this commandment is for today is to look in the New Testament and to see if the commandment is alive today. Well, there are two verses in the New Testament that tells me that this commandment is alive today. Number one is in Ephesians chapter 4. And in verse 25. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 25, the Bible reinforces, the Bible gives us again the commandment to us. Listen carefully. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Is that clear? The commandment runs from Israel all the way today. Wherefore, putting away lies, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Now, go to the next book, Colossians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. And there you have again the reinforcement of the commandment. The Bible says, lie not one another. And so to me, it's very clear. This commandment is needed today as much as it was needed by the ancient world. It's needed by everybody. God's concern for righteousness upon the earth is as strong today as ever has been. You shall not bear false witness. You shall never lie, said God. This commandment was given to you. You are not to lie, never to lie, never to bear a false witness against anybody. Now, I'm going to read the book of Proverbs. I counsel you to read the book of Proverbs all the time because there comes the best psychology you can have. The best psychology for your life is Ecclesiastes and the book of Proverbs. Now, here's what the book of Proverbs said in chapter 6. Have you read that? Chapter 6, verse 16 to 19. Look how beautiful it is. Proverbs 6, verse 16 to 19. And I like when God writes, because God doesn't say maybe, could be, consider these, I think so. When God writes, He writes absolute. I was just laughing. In the meantime, you look for Proverbs. I tell you, I was watching the news today, and one man, the head of the one who goes into Iraq and check all the places and so on, he said, my team is a team of science, and we know absolute. No, science doesn't know absolute. If you're a doctor and if you're an engineer, you know that we built upon suppositions. They're still working, but we don't know absolutes. Look at what the Bible says. Here's an absolute. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These six things does the Lord hate. You got the word hate? Yes, seven are an abomination unto him. You got the word abomination? We don't use those words anymore. An abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that seem to shed innocent blood, a heart that deceives wickedness imaginations, feet that be swift and run into mischief, a false witness that they speak lies, and he that sow discord among the brethren. Now, these things are abomination to the Lord. So tell me, come on, these commandments, even though were written there in Moses' time, they are as fresh as can be today. A husband should never lie to his wife. A wife should never lie to the husband. Regardless how terrible the truth would be, you're better off to tell the truth. Regardless how terrible she will react or he will react, you are better off to tell the truth, because God's going to bless you. But if you lie, or we lie, then we are looking for God's looking down and said, that's an abomination to me. Will you do an abomination to the Lord? I think no one of us planned to do that. So number two then, how is this commandment broken or violated? How is it? You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. I wrote about four things, actually about seven, but look in my clock, I share with you four. Number one, this commandment is broken by lying, by telling any untruth seen to anybody. Man's concept of lying is this: if I lie, it is justifiable, but if you lie to me, it's unforgivable. You know, that's the way the man thinks. But to God, lying is lying, period. Look in Proverbs chapter 14 and in verse 5. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 5. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. So I will say, the commandment is broken by lying. A false witness is a person who breathes lies. Look at in Proverbs 19 and in verse 5. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that is speaketh lies shall not escape. Another thought to consider is, a false witness is a person who shares a false report. A false witness is a person who shares a false report. And then a false witness is a person who deceives. Look in Proverbs 12 and in verse 17. Proverbs 12 and verse 17. He that is speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceits. So when some people look at the Ninth Commandment, they think of a courtroom scene, and think that lying against someone in court is not what the commandment think about it. So much that there is about 10 commentaries that I read that they said that this commandment was written for people in court. Well, I have news for you. When Moses received the commandment, he was not in court. When Moses shared the commandment with the people, he did not share the commandments in court. He was preaching to the people. So I wanted to tell you, I wish in court these will be enforced. Will be a lot of clarification. But this commandment is for you and for me. The scripture shows bearing false witness means far more than just not lying against somebody in court. Bearing false witness means any kind of lying. In Hosea, you don't have to look that because it's very hard to look. In chapter 4, and in verse 1 and 2, I read it for you what Hosea said, chapter 4. Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel, for the Lord have a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth. Wow. You hear what Hosea said? Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord had a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, by killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Wow. Tremendous. Tremendous. So, how do we break the commandment? Number one, by openly lying or deceiving somebody. Number two, there are several forms or kinds of lies in psychology. And I'm going to show it to you. And I'm going to show it to you that they're all wrong. That they are just lies. So here it is. There is slander. Slander. What is a slander? Thinking something bad about a person and sharing it. That's a slander. Misrepresenting something about someone. Tearing down the reputation and life of a person by spreading bad news about him. Now, you have to be very careful when you go to counseling, because if you talk bad about somebody, you're slandering the person. Especially if it's your wife or your husband. Listen what the scripture says. Psalm 101, verse 5. Psalm 101 and verse 5. I like this scripture. It will help you to go to counseling with this scripture. Psalm 101, verse 5. Whose privately, said the King James. I mean, maybe other Bibles use the word secretly. Whose privately slander his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. That means I will not save you. If you keep on slandering people, I will not save you, said the Lord. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about each other, let's be careful. Let's be careful. It's better to go to the person and say, now listen, I disagree with you. That's open in the scripture. You come tonight and you learn that that's one of the ways to handle controversy. But you cannot slander a person. B, there is rumor or gossip or tale-bearing. What is that? That means a spreading little of big tales, idle or active tales, whether imagined or real, is spreading the evil news that one has imagined in his mind and in his heart, and he spread that among people. Wow. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse 15. 1 Peter 4 verse 15 said, but let none of you, said the scripture, suffer as a murderer or as a thief, was an evildoer, and look at how the King James put it, was a busybody in others' men's matters. God said, I don't want to have any of you to practice these things. That's what God is saying. So rumor, gossiping, spreading things about somebody. God said, I don't want to find you doing that. So how the commandment is violated? One, by openly lying. Secondly, by smoothly telling things about other people. If you do that, you're against God. Number three, they are suggestive hints of insinuations, arousing a bad impression about someone, steering the idea that someone or something might possibly be true, planting in the mind the possibility of something improper or indecent in the life of somebody. Now, that's also bad. The verse that we read, Exodus 23 and verse 1, remember? Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thy hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. So how did we violate this commandment? Number one, by simply lying. Number two, by several forms of lies in these. Look at this. There is deception also. Thinking or wanting something to be true. That's deception. Accepting it as true and sharing it as true. You know it's a lie, but you share it as a true. Tricking oneself and others into thinking that something is true. Deceiving yourself and others by accepting bad news as true when the truth is really not known. Causing oneself and others to believe bad news. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 28. Look at what the Bible says. Proverbs 24 and verse 28. I wish the media in the United States will know these texts. Be not a witness against thy neighbor without a cause. And deceive not with thy lips. That's very, very, very important. Deceive not with thy lips. You know, when you hear the news, even from the White House, as the president talked this morning, and you hear the news, then he said a few statements and another person came in. Those people that come in will deceive you tremendously. They will not tell you the truth. No one of them. Their program to say the same thing without saying anything. It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, that's why the guy in Minnesota win. Because he told the truth. I'm a big guy, no taxes, a school handled by the teachers. He win. He told the truth. He said, how do you win? I told the people what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm going to do. What do you plan to do? I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. Simple guy. Well, he's not so simple. He has his master's degrees and so on. He's an educated person. But one man beat two big parties in America by saying, I'm going to tell you the truth, and I'm going to do what you just said. Not amazing? That's what the Bible said you have to do. There is exaggeration and broken up flattery, stretching the truth about a person excessively, praising someone, falsely representing someone, painting a false picture of a person. That's also bad. In the book of Job, one book before the book of Psalms, verse chapter 32, verse 21, the Bible is very serious about this. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto men. Very common in America. If you're a worker, you have to watch out for this. The companies do this rather than giving you a raise. I remember the time in 1965, I started working on May 25th. By August 28th, they called me to give me a promotion, a larger title at my desk as assistant chief engineer and more responsibility. And I remember I said, and how much green paper will come in? And he said, well, no, we're going to give you this. I don't want that. See, people want to make you big, to use you. And appeals are ego, is that right? appeals our egos. Man, I'm the chief, and the guy over there makes more money than you. I said, oh, I don't need to be chief. I don't need to have title. Move it away. You got to be careful, because it get to you. Proverbs 20, verse 19. He that goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Watch out for somebody who says, you are great, you're the wonderful. And then he goes around and tells just the reverse. Watch out with those people. These are all kinds of forms of this, breaking the commandment. So we break the commandment by spreading lies. We break the commandment by many ways that you don't think is a lie, but is a lie. Number three, we break the commandment and then produces three terrible effects in people. Three terrible effects upon people. Number one, lying misrepresents the truth. It camouflages and hides the truth. The person who lies does not know the truth. Therefore, he has to act or live upon a lie. If a lie is serious, it can be very damaging. And let me show you. A lie about business deal can cost money and terrible loss. A lie about loving someone can stir emotions. I had more than once in my office, in church and in radio, people coming in to me and said, well, Pastor, I need to divorce. Why? I do not love this lady, or I do not love this man anymore. So my question is, do you love it before? Have you ever said, I love you? Say yes, but then you lie. You can be sued by the law for anything you have, because you just say it. You say that in my presence, that you said to this lady, I love you, and now you say, I don't love you anymore. That is a criminal action. You can commit a fraud. Oh, this is not, they start thinking twice. A lie about the salvation of the gospel will send you to hell. You know that? If you said, yes, I know the Lord, and you do not know the Lord, you will go to hell. If you said, oh, I sing in the choir, I preach in the pulpit, I teach Sunday school, oh, yes, I know all the doctrines of Calvin and the East and the other, but you really do not know the Lord in your heart, you're going to hell because you lied to yourself. Satan will love to do that, you know? Actually, I believe with all my heart that Satan has created some doctrines today. They are lies. So that you believe those lies and thinking that you are a Christian, you go right on to hell. Believe me. If you have never considered yourself a sinner, nobody shared the gospel right with you. If nobody told you that you were born with a heart who is depraved, absolutely dead, with an ear that cannot hear God, and an eye that cannot see the scripture, only unless God enlightens you and causes you to believe, then somebody lied to you. And you think you're a Christian. How many people think they're a Christian? And they're not. I heard somebody praying in our teacher's prayer meeting on the lesson today, on 6 million Jews who walk out of Israel. Only three make it. Moses was taken by God to heaven. Half of the way, he was saved. And then Caleb, and the next man was Joshua, a picture of Jesus. Amazing. Those two men walk in, and Moses was saved, and he was taken right before crossing the Jordan as a penalty for one disobedience. For one time only, for one time only, disobeying the Lord, God in mercy said, you're gone now with me. The privilege goes to your second commander, Joshua. I tell you, lie causes terrible effect. And I hope you are not lying about the gospel to yourself. Now, lies deceives a person. It leads a person astray. A person deceives to get what he wants. a person deceived to seduce someone, deceived to cover up or hide something, a person cause harm or hurt. The point to see is that lying is a deception. And deception eventually causes misunderstanding, disappointment, bewilderment, helplessness, emotional upheaval, loss, and sometimes immorality and destruction. Ladies and gentlemen, this is absolutely terrible. Also, another effect of lying is that lying builds a wrong relationship. A relationship built upon sinking sand. If your relationship between husband and wife is built on a lie, it's building a house on sinking sand. Two people cannot possibly be friends or live together if the relationship is based upon lies. Lying destroying confidence. Lying destroys assurance, lying destroys security, lying destroys love, lying destroys trust, lying destroys hope. That's it. Now, I want you to know there's two basic things about bearing false witness and lying. If you go to a psychologist and confess to him and say, "Sir, I got a problem. I'm a liar." I don't know if I look in the internet for reports like that. I don't found any. If I look in the internet for hours to find out if somebody has a report, "I'm a liar." Nobody report that. So to know, what would the psychologist say? One, was your father a liar? Was your grandfather a liar? Was your great-grandfather a liar? Well, you could say, was my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather a liar? Adam was a liar. Yes, sir, Adam was a liar. If you go to a psychiatrist, he says, "Oh, don't worry about it. They give you Prozac." But if you go to the Bible tells you the source of lying. You know what it is? Look in John chapter 8 and in verse 44. The source of lying is Satan. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and he says in John 8 and in verse 44, look at what he says. "Ye are of your father the devil." Must be shaking to this theologian. Can you imagine talking to preachers and you tell to those preachers, "You are of your father the devil. The lust of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, said the scripture. Why? For he is a liar. And listen to this one. And the father of it. What is the source of lying? Your heart. Your heart. John 8:44 said that you do not lie because of circumstances. You do not lie because your wife is upset, that your husband is upset. You lie because your heart is just like that. And that scares me. I hope this scares you. What's the source of truth? The source of truth is God. The scripture declares time and time again that God is truth. In the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, in chapter 23 and in verse 19, the Bible tells us that God is truth. Numbers 23, verse 19, "God is not a man," said the scripture, "that he should lie." See, a man is born with a depraved heart. So the Bible makes it very clear that God is not depraved. You got that? "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man," said Proverbs, Numbers 23, verse 19, "that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it?" Wow. Oh, wow. "Or hath he spoken, And shall he not make it good? In other words, if God said in his word that if we come to the trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and we believe that he died on the cross of Calvary for me, God will take it good. The day of judgment will come and God will remember that you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and you will not be judged to condemnation. Why? Because God is not a liar. Are we blessed people who believe in God? Another verse that impressed my heart is Psalm 146, verse 5 and 6. Man, make this verse the verse of your life. Psalm 146 in verse 5 and in verse 6. Look at what this scripture says. Happy is the man that hath a God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, his God. You know, in America, a lot of people have a hope in their banking industry. I was talking to a group of businessmen yesterday, and they have a hope in some stock. And from $7.50 a share went to 7 cents a share. You know what that means, you man. I mean, you lost all you left your clothing. Is that right? And they were trying to sell me some. they told me that and they're trying to sell me. So I said, no, I said, I have one house here and one house in Oregon and another house in heaven. And that's enough for me. Happy is the man that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein, which keepeth truth for how long? Look at the scripture. Forever. 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 Ladies and gentlemen, if you get in love with God, you will never get disappointed. He tells you the truth. Now, what happens is sometimes when God tells us the truth, shake us all over. That's true. But it's true. Now, Pastor, give us the remedy. What are we going to do? Our heart is depraved. Even we Christians lie. Pastor, give us the remedy. What we should do about this issue of lying. I think that we all should humble ourselves and do what David did. Psalm 141, verse 3. We know that we are depraved, but we know that we are saved. We know that we were corrupt, but now we are no longer corrupt. No Christian can say, I had no power over this, because the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than the one that is in the world. So Christianity have no excuse about lying. It is shameful when we Christians lie. It is shameful, but it is no excusable. Now, what we must do about this? Here it is. Psalm 141 and verse 3. David prays, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. How beautiful. David prayed, Lord, you are be in control of my mouth. That's being humble, all right? You know that an unbeliever cannot do that? Because he doesn't have God. We believers have God. And because we have God, we can pray, God, keep a watch upon my mouth, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Believe me, if the Lord is active in your heart, then your lips will be accordingly. The Bible said in Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinketh, so is he. Thank you, Father, that when we examine this awfulness of lying, when we look upon this terrible thing that is in our heart, Father, we are grateful first to you that we don't have to panic because Jesus is greater than our lie. Lord, the Holy Spirit is greater than our lies, and your book, the Bible, is greater than our lies. Help us not to have excuse. We know that we all came from fathers and mothers and fathers and mothers who were liars because they were human beings. But you are not a human being, and we thank you, Father. Give us victory to guard our lips, that when we speak, be equal as the gospel of Jesus. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in his name. Amen. Please, will you take the hymn books now? And we're going to sing the third stanza of these beautiful songs. Number 393, the third stanza of number 393. And will you stand, please, as we close? Take my life, and let it be. The third stanza, take my lips. Let it be filled with a message for thee. All right, number 393. Father, for giving us the opportunity to look upon the scripture some hard verses. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to look into our heart and see the reality of our sin. But Father, thank you that we see in Jesus victory. Thank you that if we know him, we can have victory even over ourselves. But Father, we pray that someone doesn't have Jesus. We pray for your mercy upon such a life. That the convicting power of the Spirit may reveal Christ, the only solution for our life. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.